Chapter 15, Maggie. Everybody loved Maggie. Cute, funny, adorable Maggie was a shining light to all. If anyone needed a friend, Maggie was a good listener. She had a heart of gold and was generous with her things and with her time. Spending time with Maggie was always fun. She told every man he was the best lover she had ever had, and he always believed her. Sex should be playful and enjoyable as far as she was concerned. Every man who experienced Maggie walked out the door grinning with his head held high. This is Maggie's story. Growing up, Maggie was a feisty little girl, getting into mischief and trouble. She had two brothers and did everything with them. While other little girls were playing with their dolls, Maggie climbed trees or fished. She lived in her own world, catching fireflies and ladybugs. For her, it was just more fun getting dirty. Maggie was a joy, and she had a knack for finding the bright side of every situation. Maggie loved animals, and they loved her. Butterflies landed on Maggie, and she could convince a bird onto her finger. One time she found a baby bird that had fallen out of its nest and nursed it back to health. She would wake up twice each night to check on it. Two dogs, named Honey and Speckles, a cat named Moses, Hazel the cow, and Barney, her pet mouse, were Maggie's best friends. When Maggie was 10 years old, her mother died while giving birth to a stillborn baby girl. Shortly afterwards, when her father, who was in the Army Reserves, went overseas, she and her two brothers Jacob and Jesse went to live with their grandmother. Granny, a big woman with a heart of gold who loved to laugh, loved her grandchildren and smothered them with hugs and kisses every day. Granny worked hard and had a roadside stand where she sold eggs and vegetables from her garden. Throughout the county, she was known for her homemade jams, preserves, and pickles. People who knew about Granny's canning came from miles, and she knew them all by name. Granny's house was full of love and was a happy place to be. Every Sunday, she took her grandchildren to church.
"We need to pray for your daddy, children. We need to pray that my son comes home from that nasty war alive and well."
Maggie loved to go to church. It wasn't the sermons or the stained glass windows she loved, and it wasn't because of the music, although she did love to sing. It was Bobby Ray, the preacher's son. He was 2 years older than Maggie, who looked forward to going to Sunday school just so she could look at Bobby Ray. Her heart fluttered like a butterfly when she saw him, with his sandy blonde hair, shiny brown eyes, and a deep dimple in his left cheek. When he looked at Maggie, he smiled in a way that made her want to jump and put her finger right into that dimple. One time she actually did.
"What are you doing, Maggie?"
"Putting my finger in your dimple, Bobby Ray."
"Why are you doing that?"
"Now, Bobby Ray, you absolutely have to know by now I've always wanted to put my finger in your dimple."
She quickly kissed Bobby Ray on the cheek and ran away. As the years went by, Maggie became more and more beautiful. She was petite, curvy, and adorable, and had dark curly hair. Every time she smiled at Bobby Ray, her green eyes twinkled like bright stars. During the summer of 1919, Maggie was 15 years old. In her room, she heard Granny scream and then the front door slam.
Oh, my God!
When she ran out of her room and through the front screen door, she saw her granny in the front yard hugging a man in a military uniform.
Daddy! Daddy!
Maggie ran to her father.
Daddy!
Hello, Angel. I hardly recognize you. You look just like your pretty mama.
Maggie threw her arms around him, and when she did, he flinched.
Oh, sorry, baby. I have a bad place there on my arm. Golly, it's good to see the both of you.
Jacob and Jesse had been working out at the barn and ran to the joyful reunion.
Jacob? Jesse?
Their father couldn't believe it when he saw them.
My God, I can't believe how big you are.
They had seen their father flinch and waited anxiously for him to approach them.
What happened to your arm, Dad?
Wrong place at the wrong time.
Captain Jonathan Buchanan hugged his two sons one at a time with his good arm. They learned later that he would not discuss the war with them.
Look at all of you. I have dreamed of this moment for years. I can hardly believe I'm actually here.
I'll get you a glass of tea.
Her son seemed only like the shell of the man who had left them 5 years before. She remembered how he had mourned for his sweet Louise after she had died. When he was called to go overseas and serve as a medic, he had welcomed the opportunity to get away. At that point, Jonathan didn't care whether he lived or not. That had frightened his mother. Jonathan had no idea of the hell he would experience in the ensuing years. A medic in the war, he tended the wounded and tried to save the life of anyone still breathing. He saw boys barely old enough to shave screaming, disfigured for life, and scared. Trench warfare took one out of every 10 soldiers. The carnage was horrific. He could still smell that unforgettable stench of death of young American soldiers on the battlefield. That first night that her father was home, Maggie was awakened by his screaming in his sleep. Although he was safe inside his mother's house, his mind was still in hell. Many nights he sat in a chair until dawn, staring out the window. Memories of the war were vivid. Granny was beside herself with worry. Her strong son was gone, and in his place was a broken man needing love and compassion. To his good fortune, Granny had plenty of both. His eyes, however, had lost their shine, and although he attempted to participate in chores, most of the time he sat on the front porch, lost in his dark memories. The farm was different now. Maggie's father had brought home a dark cloud. Every day, Maggie tried different ways to cheer up her father.
I wish I could see my daddy smile.
We need to love him through it, honey. We can't even imagine the hell your daddy has seen. I guess he'll have to come to terms with his demons on his own.
Jonathan was not alone. When the war was over, 35 million people, including soldiers and civilians, had been killed in World War I. Those who experienced trench warfare returned shell-shocked and emotionally damaged. The fear on the battlefield was agonizing as the soldiers moved from their trenches toward enemy lines. Every day, the men lived in fear of being poisoned with mustard gas. At the end of the day, anyone still standing considered themselves lucky. Several of the war veterans from the area would have trouble adapting to normal life. Bobby Ray's father started a support group at the church, attempting to help the men release their nightmares lodged deeply within their souls. Maggie's father went twice a week, and after a while, it seemed the program was helping him. Granny reminded the children,
"We need to pray and love your daddy through this. That's all we can do. Lord knows what my boy has been through."
When Maggie walked into a room where her father was, she made it a point to say, "I love you, Daddy." It didn't matter to her if he said it back or not. Maggie felt like it was important for his healing and well-being. Although circumstances had changed at Maggie's house since her father's return, Granny never stopped working.
Time is a healer. Your daddy is in God's hands. There is no better place to be.
Life at the farm gradually became better, and by the time school started, Maggie's family had adjusted to being together. By the third week in September, when Maggie had just turned 16, the church had its annual fall fest to raise money for the local orphanage. Granny had baked pies and a jam cake for the cakewalk, and the veterans had a ring toss booth. There was good food, music, and dancing. Everyone was in good spirits. Bobby Ray found Maggie.
Let's go for a walk, Maggie.
Okay.
The full moon was so bright, they could see their shadows lit on the ground. Bobby Ray and Maggie walked down to the lake and watched as a turtle jumped off a rock and swam to the bank. Moonlight danced on the water, and they felt the coolness of the fall and the breeze on their skin.
We're moving, Maggie.
What? You're moving? Where?
We're going to Austin. My dad's got a bishop's position in the Methodist Church. We're leaving in a couple of weeks. No one knows yet, so don't tell anyone, not even your granny.
This makes me sad, Bobby Ray. This makes me really sad.
I want to kiss you, Maggie. I wanted to kiss you for a long time.
Okay, Bobby Ray. I've wanted you to kiss me for a long time, too.
Bobby Ray bent down and gave Maggie her first kiss. Then he kissed her again.
Come with me, Maggie. I want to show you something.
Bobby took Maggie to his secret place. There was a blanket and a pillow stuffed in a pillowcase sitting on a big rock.
Lay down with me, Maggie, please. I think I'll burst if you don't lay down with me.
Okay, Bobby Ray.
Maggie couldn't bear to tell him no. He was so anxious. She went along with all that he said and did everything he asked her to do.
I love you, Maggie. I've always loved you.
Bobby Ray and Maggie made love that night. Neither of them knew what they were doing, but it didn't matter. They let nature take its course. All Maggie really knew was that she liked it. As a matter of fact, she liked it a lot. When they were finished, Maggie didn't feel bad or even dirty. After all, he was the preacher's son, and he wouldn't make her do anything that was wrong. For the next few weeks, Maggie and Bobby Ray saw each other as much as they could. They made love several more times, and then once more the night before Bobby Ray and his family left. That evening, Bobby Ray and Maggie promised each other that one day they'd be together again. Maggie was firm and deliberate.
You write to me now, Bobby Ray. I'll be waiting.
Maggie smiled, reached up, and put her finger in Bobby Ray's dimple.
I love you, Bobby Ray.
I'll write you, Maggie. I promise.
Maggie believed him. It was the last thing Bobby Ray ever said to her. Maggie ran to the mailbox every day, and every day there was no word from Bobby Ray. Finally, after several weeks had passed, she went into the house weeping.
Granny, he told me he'd write to me. I've written him 3 times, and I haven't heard a word.
Granny had spent most of her time worrying about Maggie's father and trying to keep her family from falling apart. She was a strong woman, but even she had her limits. She held Maggie and let her cry.
Sometimes life doesn't give us what we want, baby girl. Don't worry. I promise it will turn out just fine. It always does if you wait long enough.
Finally, 6 months after Bobby Ray left for Austin, a letter came in the mail addressed to Maggie Buchanan. The top left-hand corner read, Bobby Ray Jones, 5467 Willowbrook Lane, Austin, Texas. Maggie opened the letter as fast as she could. Her heart was thumping in her chest. With every sentence, her heart just sank deeper and deeper.
Dear Maggie, I hope this letter finds you well. I've received your letters and enjoyed every one of them. It pains me to write you like this. You certainly deserve better. When I first moved to Austin, I missed you so much it hurt my heart. I know I should have written, but honestly, I just didn't want to think about you. I met a girl who goes to our church who looks a lot like you. She seemed nice enough, So we went on a couple of dates. I kept telling her how much she reminded me of you. At first, she seemed okay with it. Then she told me I couldn't talk about you anymore. We had sex, Maggie. It was her idea. She told me she was going to make me forget you. It was only one time, I swear. I was missing you so much. It was nothing like what you and I had shared. I thought she'd be like you. Nobody's like you, Maggie. Now she's going to have a baby, so I had to do the right thing and marry her. We have to keep the baby a secret, with Dad being a bishop and all. I really messed up, Maggie. I'd give anything to see you again, but now I know that can't happen. She isn't as nice as you, as pretty as you, and for sure, she isn't as funny as you. In fact, nowadays, she's cranky most of the time. She gets sick in the mornings, and heck, Maggie, she's just not you. I tried to make her you, but she is certainly not you. I'm so sorry, Maggie. I really messed up. God is punishing me now for not keeping my word with you. I still think about you every day. There's nothing I can say except I'm sorry, and I wish she was you. I guess I need to say goodbye now. Yours truly, Bobby Ray.
Maggie was too sad to cry. She read the letter 3 times just to see if she could make sense of it.
Not me! Of course she's not me! Bobby Ray, you stupid, stupid, stupid! Ugh!
Maggie walked into the kitchen where her granny was peeling potatoes for dinner that night.
Granny, tell me about sex.
Why in the world are you asking me that, Maggie?
Bobby Ray just wrote me and told me he had sex with a girl, and now they're going to have a baby. He had to marry her.
Oh, Lordy sakes, child. Let me think about this a minute.
Granny laid down her peeling knife.
Okay. Sex is when a man and a woman, Remember when Honey and Speckles were hooked together and you asked me what they were doing? That was sex. Then remember Honey had those 3 little puppies? That's what happens when men and women have sex.
Maggie's father, listening to the conversation through the back screen door, walked in grinning from ear to ear. The first time anyone had seen him smile since he had returned from the war.
Come outside. Sit with me on the front porch, Maggie. I'll tell you what you need to know. Sex is when a man and a woman experience oneness, Maggie. It can be a beautiful experience if it is done in the spirit of love like your mother and I. You know how Speckles has a penis and Honey has just an opening? The same goes for men and women. Your brothers each have a penis. Sex happens when the penis becomes stiff and it's inserted into the woman's opening to plant the seed for a baby to grow.
In an enlightening moment, Maggie put it all together.
Oh. I guess then I had sex with Bobby Ray, Daddy. I just didn't know what it was. I just know it was nice.
Maggie's father deeply looked into his daughter's innocent face and could not help but smile. How could he be upset with her? No one had ever told her about sex before. She didn't even know if it was wrong or not. Maggie's father loved her openness and honesty. Her naivete made her even more sweet and innocent. Jonathan thought of the different women he had found comfort with and of his beloved Louise and the way she smiled at him after they had made love. Soon afterwards, Louise usually would ask him to make love to her again.
Maggie, I believe you and Bobby Ray made love. Even though technically it's the same action, sex and making love are really 2 different things. Sex is just the act itself. Even Honey and Speckles didn't make love. They just followed their instincts. Humans are different because Sex can be an expression of love for a man and woman to share in the most intimate way.
Okay, Daddy. I think I understand it better now. But Bobby Ray and I didn't make a baby. How come?
Well, it doesn't happen every time, Maggie. If I were you, I'd consider myself lucky.
Daddy, do you think Bobby Ray made love or just had sex with that girl? He told me she reminded him of me.
Men are made different from women, Maggie. They have basic physical urges to have sex, and love is not as important to them as it is to women. Unfortunately for Bobby Ray, I think he just had an itch that needed to be scratched. Now he has to pay the consequences. I feel kind of bad for him.
Thanks, Daddy. You must miss Mama terrible. I miss Mama too.
Maggie kissed her daddy on the cheek. She went back into the house to her room. Granny walked out onto the porch to talk to her son.
Good job, Jonathan. Aren't you angry about Maggie and Bobby Ray?
Mama, after what I've seen in the last 5 years, two young people making love is not on my list of terrible things. On the battlefield, I saw boys die whose only sexual experience had been with a prostitute. A lot of them had syphilis. No, Mama, love is always a good thing, and I believe Bobby Ray loved Maggie in a puppy love kind of way.
I guess you're right, son. Boy, did she ever throw me for a loop. I honestly didn't know what to say to her. No one told me about sex before I married your pa. In fact, the night before my wedding, your grandmother told me that it hurt. But you had to do it to have children. She said it was a wifely duty. The problem was she never explained what it was. She just kept calling it.
Jonathan shook his head.
Poor kids. Too bad the way it worked out. I actually feel more bad for poor Bobby Ray than Maggie. At least Maggie's free.
Maggie decided to put Bobby Ray in the past. He would always be her first love, but he had a family now. Bobby Ray was a memory of a sweet time of her youth and innocence. One July morning in 1921, Maggie woke up as usual and went into the kitchen to pour herself a glass of orange juice. For 7 years, Granny had been at the stove cooking every morning when Maggie woke up, but this was the first time Granny wasn't there. She wandered down the hallway and knocked on her bedroom door.
Granny! Where are you, Granny?
Seeing Granny still in bed, Maggie walked over and saw that she looked like she was sleeping peacefully. Then Maggie realized Granny wasn't breathing. The angels had come and taken her Granny away during the night. Hundreds of people from all over the county came to pay their respects and say goodbye to Granny. At her funeral, everyone talked about the way she threw her head back and laughed at things most people didn't even think were funny. Jonathan hardly spoke for weeks after his mother had died. He remembered something Granny used to say when someone she knew had died.
When it's your time, it's your time.
He thought about the soldiers who had died. He thought about the soldiers who had survived.
Who chooses that? Why am I still here? Why did God take Louise and our baby girl? Why? Why? Why?
2 months later, Maggie's brother Jacob married his longtime girlfriend Patsy, and they took over the business on the farm. Patsy sometimes helped Granny and had all her recipes. The house was again filled with the smell of Granny's cooking. Jonathan moved Maggie and her little brother Jesse to town, where he got a job at a hardware store in Henderson, Texas. Although the last year had gotten better, sometimes he still had night terrors. Nightmares of boys crying from fear. Boys losing their limbs. Dead boys with their eyes still open. And dead boys on the battlefield. 6 months after moving to town, Maggie's father married Angie, a sweet lady and a widow whose husband had died in the war. Angie had two children, a girl 10 and a boy 8, and for the last few years, she had been living with her parents. Maggie and the girl had to share a room, which was something Maggie wasn't used to, but she knew she only had one more year left before finishing high school. Angie and her father seemed happy enough, so she decided that after she graduated, she would move away, someplace more interesting. Because Maggie was the new girl in school, she didn't really fit in too well with the other girls who had grown up together. Besides, she had gotten along better with boys anyway. Girls were just a little too frilly for her taste. When a new girl named Sarah showed up at school, Maggie and Sarah simply exchanged hellos at first. One day, Maggie saw Sarah eating lunch alone and sat on a seat across the table from her.
Hi, I'm Maggie. You're new here, aren't you? Tell me about yourself.
I live with my grandparents, and I have a cat I call Kitty.
Sarah's quiet gave her an element of mystery that intrigued Maggie. Unlike the other girls, Sarah appeared to harbor a sinister secret. In fact, in many ways, Sarah reminded Maggie of her father when he returned from the war. Had Sarah been through her own war? Maggie was never at a loss for words, and as they ate their lunch together, she even managed to make Sarah smile a couple of times. Finally, getting ready to go back to class, Maggie felt like she had made a friend.
Let's have lunch again tomorrow, Sarah. Somehow I feel we are going to be friends for a long time.
Maggie was right when she guessed Sarah was troubled with sinister secrets. Her new friend had been through hell on earth.